I'm going to go ahead and start this meeting. It's Monday, May 6, 2019. It's about 6:17. And we are here tonight with the Utilities and Environment Committee to talk about ditch maintenance assessment revisions and revisions to the Sylvania Codified Ordinances, Section 925 and 929. Present are committee members Mary Westfall, Sandy Hussman, Patrick Richardson. I expect Mark Fry will be joining us. He had a commitment that just ended, and I'm anticipating he'll arrive shortly. Also joining us, Mark Lukey, Doug Hainem, and from administration, Law Director Leslie Brining, Service Director Kevin Aller, and Joe Shaw is with us. So, as you will recall, for the members of the Utilities and Environment Committee, we did have a meeting here on this topic several weeks ago, and we talked and learned quite a bit about the administration's thoughts and consideration for the ditch maintenance assessment. And Mr. Aller was going to do some additional research and thinking and come back with a little bit more detail. I do think that Mr. Aller made an effort to connect with the other members of council who are not present so that they would be brought up to speed a little bit. So with that, I'm going to let you walk us through where you landed, Mr. Aller, and what we're hoping to accomplish today.
Thank you, Mrs. Westfall. After the last Utilities Committee meeting, or after the meeting, I should say, we were asked to take a look at the possibility of creating a small lot assessment for the stormwater methodology. The concern being that if we use the methodology that was proposed, that there would be an increase, even though it was a small increase, that small increase would be felt and seen by the smaller lot owners, which are typically in lower income neighborhoods, and that would impact so we went back and took a look, and we in essence, we based it primarily on our zoning code sizes, where for R1, the lot sizes are 10,000 square feet and larger. And for R2, generally, those lots are the smaller lots. They're the 40-foot frontage, 50-foot frontage. And so what we did is we took a look at the lots in town at 9,900 square feet or less and considered those small lots. And we took a look at what the impervious area, average impervious area on those lots were. And those turned out to be about 2,500 square feet. Then we took the larger lots, 10,000 square feet and larger, and took a look at what their average impervious area was. But also, we had to bear in mind that the business assessments were going to be based on whatever that larger lot impervious area was in order to come up with an equivalent residential. So the average size for the larger lot is in the neighborhood, it's just over 4,000 square feet. However, if we utilize that 4,000 square feet, then it's an impact to the businesses, nonprofits, schools, churches. That became greater because of having that equivalent residential unit at that 4,000 square foot figure. And we were also generating quite a bit more money than what our current assessment generates. And that wasn't our goal with this whole change. Do we want to be slightly more than our current assessment? Yes. For one reason, there probably will be some appeals throughout this course, and we'll have to take a look at some individual properties and make some adjustments. So we know that we'll lose some funds through that process. But we didn't want increase to a great degree. The funds that we currently are generating in the fund are most years sufficient to be able to do the work that we need to do. We do have reserves in the fund, so we're able to get into those if we do have some additional funds. So what we did is we increased that large lot equivalent residential unit to 5,000 square feet. And which for a homeowner would be about $2.50 per month or $30 per year. What that does is, and actually through the course of this process, the list that had been used for years, when we started this process, our GIS technicians started taking a look. We did the work ourselves. Most entities would hire out for the service and hire a firm. We did it ourselves. We actually found about $15,000 that we should have been collecting that wasn't being collected because the properties were had been brought up possible. Now, our existing program, we've used an outside consultant for years. That is it's a specifically written program. It's older. It's very old. And so we had planned on getting away from that program with this switch. But in the course of that, we found several thousand dollars that we weren't collecting that we should have done. So the 275 that we were collecting actually should have been about 290,000 that we were collecting. Adjusting the equivalent residential unit to 5,000 square feet will bring us, and so if you're a company that has 20,000 square feet of hard surface area, you have four equivalent residential units. So you will pay four times as much as a large lot residential lot in the city. So instead of, I mentioned the large lot for a residence will be $30 per year. If you're that business that has 20,000 square feet of impervious area, your annual bill will be $120. And it's just based on the amount of hard surface that you have on the property. I do support the methodology. I support the breakdown that we come up with for the small lot, large lot. And if this recommendation is moved forward, we will collect right about $310,000. I anticipate losing probably about 5% to that from various appeals that will come forward. That's planned for. We know it's impossible at this stage to take a look at each individual parcel and not have something come up that it is right. We don't want to set somebody in peril. So there will be some corrections that are made. But that's what we've come up with. It keeps the small lots that were the concern, it keeps them at essentially the same level. They'll see no increase in theirs. Many of our large lots won't see any increase. The really large lots, might see a little bit of an increase, but we're talking a couple of dollars. The community, as we talked to the last time, the communities that will see the increases are the businesses, the churches, hospitals, schools, Sylvania, the country clubs with their parking lots. Even though we have in the instance of Sylvania Country Club, even though we have the club building itself, in the parking lot and all of that within the city, their storm sewer assessment with us will still be less than what they're paying for the portion of the country that's in the township.
Just for the record, shortly after Mr. Aller began his remarks, Mr. Frye and Mayor Stow joined the meeting. I do have a question for you, though, as well. The $310,000, that money is designated for a specific account related to ditch maintenance, correct?
That's correct, yes. It goes directly into a ditch maintenance account. It's what we refer to in the city as a 503 account. And it can only be used for ditch maintenance activity, equipment, things like that.
And also, Mr. Aller, you shared a bit about who might be most significantly impacted by these dollars. In reading through this, though, you do have an opportunity for, I can't think of the word I want to say, challenging. That's not what I'm looking for. Appeals, thank you. For making an appeal, correct? And I don't, you might have spoken to that, but I missed it if you did.
Yes, that's part of the statute. Any entity that receives an assessment in excess of $250, which we determined that there will be, I believe it's about 140 sites throughout the city, they will receive a letter indicating that their assessment will exceed $250. Along with that notice, that's a statute that's required by the city. That's a requirement of the statute. With that, we will either be modifying that letter or we'll be including some information on what the change in the assessment is, why the change was made, and explain the rules as to why we made that change.
And again, you may have specifically addressed this, but I don't recall hearing it, so if I'm having you repeat yourself, I apologize. I know that you shared with me that you did speak with the schools and that they're aware of this transition. Is that correct? And that they will be potentially impacted?
That's correct. We met with the schools probably about 3 weeks ago now and informed them of the changes that we were making because they will, you know, we have several schools that are in town and they will see an increase with this. It is an increase of approximately, with the changes that we've made, it's an increase of approximately $10,000 a year. But we will, again, will be substantially less than what they're paying for the schools that are not going to save.
Thank you. Other question from members of the committee?
Mr. Aller, you said 140 sites. But I don't know if I heard, are those the ones that could appeal, or anyone could appeal, or just those 140 since they're, those are the ones that could appeal and you will tell them that?
Or? Anybody can appeal.
Anyone, okay.
They have 2 weeks to do that.
Okay.
Typically the only ones that we see appeals for are the ones that are in.
Of course.
In fact, this has been such a long-standing assessment that we haven't gotten to appeals since
This change do you expect with these appeals that you will need extra manpower, extra hours handling the appeals process?
I don't think so, because it's for many of the in looking at the list for many of the sites, it's a low hundred, you know, low hundreds increase. So they're going from, you know, 900 to 1100 or something. We have the rare sites that are, you know, when you say it's doubles, that seems like a lot. But when you take a look at the entities, going from 1100 to $2,200 isn't, if that occurred to us, we wouldn't even see it.
Right. Thank you. Thank you.
Who hears the appeal?
That comes to.
I think it's you.
Yeah, it comes to the service director of public service.
So you hear the appeal.
Yeah.
So you design the rate and you hear the appeal. Yep. Sounds good.
And that's statutory driven?
Yes.
So Kevin, a couple times you mentioned that, that the assessments would be larger in the township. Why is that?
The county has a much larger, cost per ERU. There, where our, large lot ERU is going to be $30 per year, the county's is, almost $52, $51.72. So, and their ERU is 5,500 square feet, so it's very close to what we're using for our large lot ERU. Their fee is so much more, almost 75%, 80%.
Right, thank you.
Is that the result of a compactness versus an expansive nature? That's what I figured.
I believe Toledo's, they also have, they, Toledo's is actually a stormwater utility. Their, ERU is actually $2,400 because of the smaller lots.
Other questions from members?
Yeah, Mary, I just do have just a point of information. I'm not, having not served on a committee, I'm not familiar with the handouts that, Kevin provided, which I appreciate, but one line on the two-pager that says, Sylvania Codified Ordinances 829 Administrative Summary, about, three-fourths of the way down the first page, there was a line that said residential fee will increase from $430 to $1,000. That's a 125% increase. What is that? That's, we're not talking about that tonight.
We're going to talk about that.
Ah, well, then I'll hold my comments.
Okay.
Okay, but generally, just to summarize, this is a, this actually bases the fee more on actual generation of stormwater as opposed to just front footage, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So when we reduce the minimum parking requirements, that will reduce the cost for the new construction in town.
The more green space you have, the better off you are from a, stormwater assessment. Ditch maintenance, actually, I got to use.
Ditch maintenance.
Our terminology is ditch maintenance, and I just, so custom to stormwater. Yeah, the more green space you have, the better off you are as far as your ditch maintenance assessment.
When you calculate, the, area of impervious surface, you include roof and parking lot, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Roof, parking lot.
Driveways.
Outbuildings, driveways, yes.
Okay.
Anything, and stone is considered impervious. If you have a packed stone driveway, it doesn't change.
Got it.
Do you have information if this is, is this the way most communities our size, do this kind of assessment?
Yeah, some, City of Toledo, that's how they do it. The, City of Maumee, they don't have a ditch maintenance fee. Perrysburg has changed to a stormwater utility. A lot of cities are changing to the stormwater utility setup. We just continue to call our ditch maintenance. Yeah, it's more.
But the usage base is more common?
Much more common.
And can you, just for my, I know you touched on it at the last meeting, but for my refresher, can you touch on like the technology? What there was with the bird's eye view map, and then you go through and look, is that how you do it? Can you touch on that again?
Yep.
My memory.
Sure. For the residential areas, we picked a select number. We used about 15 or 20 residential lots and to determine.
At random or?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep, just scattered around. And then for the, business, for the non-residential, we used, the county data system. And we also can, digitize those sites. And, from that digitization, was, able to determine
So the residentials are averaged, and the non-residentials are getting each their specific breakdown of square foot of impervious and non-impervious.
Because to digitize 6,000 apartments.
Totally makes sense, yeah. How many were, how many parcels roughly were in the non-residential that got specific, if you know?
No, I don't know.
Just wondered.
Okay, hearing no other questions, what we're hoping to do today is to have a motion to request administration to prepare legislation supporting this ditch maintenance fee assessment.
I will make the motion. So moved.
And moved and seconded to make a recommendation or to make the request to administration to prepare legislation on this topic. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, and we'll move that forward tonight. You are welcome. Thank you for your hard work on this. It has been quite an educational process for me, and I think probably for other members of the committee and today the other members of council who are able to join us. So I appreciate your focus there. Thank you, Mr. Ehler. Now we're going to move on to the revisions to the Sylvania Codified Ordinances 925, Section 925 and 929. We did just do a very high-level overview of those in our last meeting and really just simply asked Mr. Ehler if he would put together some talking points, essentially, for what the most significant changes were, and he had requested that we pay particular attention to 92910. And rules and regulations of the committee. So he'll speak to that, I'm sure, as well. So with that, Mr. Ehler, I think all council members received your Sylvania Codified Ordinance Sewage Service Charges Summary. So I know it'll be a little dry, but that quick speed talk through this, maybe. No, I'm teasing. Okay. Yeah, that would be hard.
Yes, these two sections were essentially a complete rewrite. Most of the sections of this have not been updated. So, few of the sections have been updated because of changes that have come down. But we basically started from scratch and just rewrote many sections of this. So. Starting right at the beginning, the definitions, I won't bore you with that. You know, we added some definitions for a couple terms that weren't included in the definition section, but were included in the section of the code. So we changed that. We revised some definitions, updated a few of them, and then we also deleted some of them that just weren't applicable for the way we operate our system, or the changes that are so that's, unless there are any questions, we moved on down. There were some minor edits in a couple sections, but most of those are just cleaning up, you know, where it might have said service director instead of director or something like that. So nothing, nothing there. In the sewer revenue fund, in the last sentence of that section, it used to state that the funds can be used, the whole sentence is, can only be used for purposes that are related to sanitary sewer. And I'm paraphrasing that piece. As it ended, but shall not be used for the extension of the system to serve unsewered areas or for any other purpose whatsoever. That's an area, I mean, that's a section where it is all, we just recently did a sewer project on Harbor Way. We have a proposal that we're going to do this this summer to extend about 200 feet up on Acres Road to serve the only two houses on Acres Road that don't have sanitary sewer. So I just didn't think that section was appropriate. If we want to use it to provide services to other people, I don't think that we should do that. So I believe There's really no purpose for all waste is treated the same, and if we do have any industrial waste that is considered a high strength, we have other sections of the code that can address that, and we do address that in those sections. So the different classifications just weren't needed. A big section of that was updating the capital charge and user charge components. And that used to be, those fees had remained unchanged for quite a while, and we had an increase about 4 years ago. And that was more to cover debt service that was upcoming at the wastewater. And so I took a look at that and made sure that those breakdowns for those two sections were correct and were in line. I did make some changes. The total fee is the same as far as that. I didn't change the total cost. But the breakdown did need some adjustment to make sure that we were getting funds into the right, whether it be capital or user charges. So those did change a little bit. We adjusted, we talked about the high strength thresholds. We adjusted those a little bit for today's standards. Those have changed through the years to today. Industrial cost recovery, we deleted that section. That was a section that was required for 30 years as long as we received an Ohio EPA grant. And then we also received an Ohio EPA loan. It was like half and half. A condition of the loan is that a certain language was in our code during the term of that loan. We've since paid that loan off, and so that language is no longer required. It didn't serve any purpose in our operation today, so we deleted that section. Metering devices, there was a fair amount of language taken out of 925.07. Just some language that didn't really make sense. We don't have any areas, nor would we propose using any areas where a business uses water from a well and discharges to the sanitary sewer, but also uses our public water and discharges to the sanitary sewer. That just wouldn't happen. We wouldn't permit it. So we believe that language. Billing procedure, that's probably the primary changes there were just to, that language is still read as quarterly billing, and we use monthly billing now, so we just modified that language for that. Minor edits or no changes were made then throughout the rest of 925. So, that's the gist of the changes.
I'm sorry. You mean in terms of advancing the legislation? This whole piece will be a separate ordinance. Do we need a motion for 925 versus 929?
Did you have questions?
No. I was saying it looks like we're done with that.
You know what? Of course, the law director stepped up, so I'm not sure if we need a separate. You maybe will ask her. I don't know if we can put it all into one. But I do have a quick question on 925.05, where you talked about the updated capital charge and user charge components. You just said you had to realign those figures to make sure that they were more aligned in the correct area, but the total cost did not change. Did I understand that correctly? Okay.
$2.94 for a city user when we started the edits, and it's $2.94.
Is there anything in here that represents an increase to the customer in terms of costs?
Not in 925.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. All right. We'll check with the law director when she comes in how we should make those motions, but we'll move on to 929. Thank you.
929, is a section where, we took a lot of the sections out, I kind of took the lead from when we came to you with the changes in the water code.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those sections are related more to the installation of sanitary sewer connections and stuff like that. And so I pulled that out, but we'll run through this. Would you like to lower?
You know, that was the question that we had, Mrs. Huffman had a good question. She wanted to know whether we needed separate motion for chapter 925 and another motion for 929, or can we wrap them all into one?
Two separate motions.
Okay, so with that.
Second.
It's been moved, and seconded to, ask administration to prepare legislation to advance the Sylvania Codified Ordinance Section 925 changes. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye. Any opposed? Motion carries, and we'll make that request tonight. Okay, and so now we will move on to 929.
929, you know, no changes, just minor edits in the first seven sections of 929. And nothing of note in those areas. In 92908, that fee used to be the permit fee, or it is the permit fee. But that fee used to be $95, and that was the cost to cover inspection services. That is inspection, that permit fee is based on about 4 hours of work. That's what an average sewer tap will take as far as our time is all. As you can imagine, $95 doesn't cover 4 hours of employee time nowadays. That fee had not been changed, you can see, 1979 is when that fee was last adjusted. And so we did increase our fee. I took a look at the 4 hour, I took a look at our current pay rate, assumed that average of 4 hours for a connection, and that came to $246 and change. I mean, $250 sounded like a nice round number. So we increased that fee to $250 based on today's rates. So that's what that fee covers.
Going forward, should we have an automatic escalator in there?
I think it's something that we can take, I know some councils will do that on an automatic escalator, sometimes they want it coming back. So that's, you know, that's councils.
Well, the nice thing about an automatic escalator, obviously, is you don't go 40 years without changing?
I assure you that we won't go. But I understand what you're saying. This is, you know, we've been working our way slowly through several of these codes of the solid waste, and we switched to the water. But I do agree, that should be something. You know, I will make sure that we keep up on that fee, and that we make sure that it's covering our expenses. And, you know, hopefully, future people that are involved will take that fee.
Do we have a list of what those are someplace? Comprehensive list?
Yep.
That might be, you know, like an annual ordinance kind of thing that we could.
That's a good idea.
Put together. And once we did the first one, then it'd be kind of automatic.
Just approve a rate schedule.
Boom. Yeah, an annual rate schedule. That's brilliant. We should do that.
Brilliant.
92909, no changes to that, just minor edits in that section. 92910, really, that is the area where we've made a huge, large impact to how we determine connection charges. In the past, this section took up seven or eight pages. There were umpteen different possibilities and combinations. A lot of, now, somewhat, well, not somewhat, it is almost exactly like what the Lucas County Sanitary Engineers Office uses. There is a section in the Ohio Administrative Code that addresses if different types of buildings, whether it be an apartment building, a church, laundries, you know, several different things. It says that if those units come in, here's what the system needs to be designed for. And a home is considered to be 400 gallons per day. And then everything else is adjusted. Apartments and condominiums, as you can see, is 120 gallons per day per bedroom. So what we've done is we've taken that table and said that for every, whatever type of entity you are coming into our system, we're going to determine what your flow will be based on the EPA table. And then once we decide how many gallons per day you're going to discharge into the sanitary sewer system, you'll pay a connection charge of $2.50 per gallon per day. So in the case of the residents, they're saying 400 gallons per day. So $2.50 establishes their fee at $1,000. Our fee today for that residence is $430. But again, but that fee has not been adjusted since 1977. If you take a look at inflation, we are still currently, even adjusting this fee to $1,000, we will still be at a minimum the second lowest, and I would, if a recommendation from another city service director is approved by council, we will be the lowest. City of Maumee is currently lower than us. If we approve $1,000, they would be lower than us. But their service director is actually recommending we just control it. I'm comfortable with the thousand, and I'm comfortable. Typically, I like to be average, if you will. This isn't a large factor for us because we don't have the residential, new residential development. And that's the only people that pay this fee, is new construction. So it's not, you know, it's really to come up closer to today's standards, but it's not, from my eyes anyways, it's not looked at as a large revenue generator. Now, can we have something residential? Sure, we just annexed a large territory out of Centennial Road, a lot of open land, who knows what's going to happen out there. But I believe our fee is fair.
Is that fee just covering, you say it's just covering our cost of the work performed by the city?
This is more, the connection charge is more of a, I thought about even changing the name of it because I look at it as more of a capital charge. The debt that we've had to pay on the wastewater plant to make sure that we have enough capacity and things like that, this fee goes more towards those types of things.
Gotcha.
So.
So
that is a large change. That is, there were sections, if it had joined the original project, if it didn't join the original project, if it was an existing house, if it wasn't an existing house, it was very.
So based on this, talk about the apartments and condominiums, the 120 per bedroom, how would that impact SOMO's new development?
I don't know how many are two bedroom, one bedroom, and all of that. I haven't seen that breakdown. But you know, let's say they're half. Now let's say it's 100 two bedroom and 100 single bedroom. That's going to be 300 bedrooms times 120 gallons per day. Times $2.50
Sounds good to me. I don't know, you're a step ahead of me in getting your computer open. And so that, and would that be paid by?
That would be paid by JCR.
And that's an increase from what it had been prior to that, but kind of a significant increase, but in keeping with the change of the rate from 1977.
Yeah, our fee basis for the larger entities like that was completely different than this. It was based on meter size.
Okay.
So the residential charges were at $430. And actually, some depending on where you were, you could have a fee that was $900, depending if you were along the original project and the other feature. But the larger users were based on water meter size. And so that varies a little bit. That fee sounds large.
That won't to them.
It's what they're using.
I'm just only asking, of course, because I'm just curious if we're, you know, they've moved forward and are we changing the rules now midstream on that particular project?
When would these go into effect if we pass it tonight? Like, are they grandfathered in, to use some as a specific example, if they've already broken ground before?
That, I've done that before. A good example, and it doesn't, another entity that might have that same claim would be like Woodland Hills. That was almost completely done out. But they started that project where they were planning on certain fees, and if they have anything already sold, they made that sale based on what their assumed fees were going to be. So what I have done in past lives is if they show that this deal has worked out for others, given them the old fees. If it's something that they do in the future, they get the new fees because of that.
Is there anything else ongoing in the city besides some of the large, do we know?
Woodlands. What about that property off of McCord? Is that?
That's Woodland Hills.
Is that Woodland Hills?
That's almost completely built out. Yeah. That's one. The same developer has some tenant crossings to plot four. There may be a few lots out there. Aurora Place. There may be a few there. There's that in Lexus Road.
Mm-hmm.
So we should make some accommodations for that.
People live there.
Granting them the old rate structure. Because that's what we've quoted them to date. And so I don't have a problem.
Okay.
I don't want to spring something on them. If they benefit from this rate structure, we can get the benefit.
Legislation actually referenced in the meeting, so we could
stay effective on after July 1st or August 1st, we could put that sort of timeline in there. In that way, everybody's had notice of the new rate structure.
I'll move on.
Okay.
How many sewer connections do we do here? It varies, the past couple of years because of Woodland Hills and it's dependent across, we've done the way up. Typically, we're in the, we're in the 25-30. We were probably done a lot this past year, but, it's new construction. We have a lot of remodeling and this kind of thing, so I'm not much new construction.
And is that creating pressure on our need to increase our capacity in the plant down on the river?
No, we, with the original capacity purchase and then the updated capacity purchase that the city made in 2005, we actually did the shape as far as capacity a lot in the structure. We haven't had to pay, sometimes during the really wet, actually, this quarter may not be a very pretty bill. During the really wet springs, we'll have to pay a surcharge fee for being over that capacity, but we have paid more than 7 years. This spring will test that.
Well, we can't control the weather. We're shooting for the typical, not the typical.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The next five sections, those sections we removed completely from the ordinance and we moved those into rules and regulations. They were more concerned with how we treat contractors, contractors' responsibilities, and things of that nature. And I took the cue from the changes that we made to the water code and did that. Excavation and restoration, there were no changes to that section. I thought that one should stay in there. The next couple sections, they were also removed. We removed those to the rules and regulations. So contractor related. Prohibited connections, there were no changes to that, and that section does, that needs to stay, is required to stay in the ordinance. That's an EPA requirement. This is a can't work up with drainage, foundation drainage, and the other two to the same. So that section has to be in there. Sections 20 and 21, we removed those and moved those into the rules and regulations. And then the next several changes were, if you go down through section 25, there weren't changes to those sections, or if there was, they were just minor edits. Section 26 was primarily just an update to the CAFR references. And that's also in regards to the high strength waste section. The codes have just changed, and so we're going to need to get to that.
Mr. Aller, I did read through this, but I'm not remembering what that CFR CAFR, as you refer to it, is. I'm sure I saw it in here, but I'm not. I just haven't. Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to corner you on that.
Industrial guidance.
Okay. Okay. That's okay. I'm sure it's in here. Good idea.
The powers and authority of inspectors, I just deleted the last paragraph because it was a repeat of the first paragraph. So we're a couple of words different, but the meaning of it was the same. So we deleted that paragraph. And then same thing with penalties. Deleted the last paragraph in that section 99 because it was a repeat of the earlier section. So
Kevin, if you don't mind, I'm going to jump back slightly. The 400 gallons per day and all of those other expectations of discharge for the average apartment, business, laundry, all of that table. I know that I looked at it, but I don't remember. Are we referring specifically to the table so that as any updates would occur in any future Ohio EPA regulations for those volumes, that those would automatically be updated by us? Or are those in the language of the, of these, of the ordinance, which would need to be updated to verify whenever there was an update, we'd have to physically go through and update it?
The way we have it here, by listening in here, I would assume all of the water up there, but I would assume that we would have to update that table.
That's correct. And also, Mr. Byerly pointed out that if we would want to increase our fee, that would have to be done.
Okay.
Those quantities have been in place for 15, 17, over 20 years. They're going to change tomorrow.
So they're unlikely to change anytime soon.
Any other questions for Mr. Allen? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion that we request administration to prepare legislation on Sylvania Codified Ordinances, Section 929. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to request legislation on this issue. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Mrs. Westfall, one clarification. Was that with the grandfathering or without, or doesn't that have to be specified, Mrs. Prenny?
I was going to put that in my report. And
okay.
Again, I think legislation would be incorporating that, and if we should add that into our motion at council, we can. But I believe that that would just come through in legislation. I'll report it out.
Okay.
Good question, though. Mr. Aller, anything else? Okay. Is there any other business to come before the Utilities and Environment Committee? Hearing none, is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to adjourn at 7:10. All in favor, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries, and this meeting stands adjourned. Thank you very much.